All right, Malachi chapter number 4 is where you want to turn. We want to look at verses 5 and 6. Malachi chapter number 4, verses 5 and 6. And of course, it is Father's Day, isn't it? And so again, let me say happy Father's Day to each of you that God has allowed you to be a dad. What a blessing it is to be a father. I hope and trust that you take your job and your responsibility, whether your children are grown or still in the home. I hope you take it very seriously. I want to also say that if you have an opportunity to still communicate with your earthly father, if you are able to do that, I would encourage you to take the opportunity today to thank him for being your earthly father and just give your love to him, if at all possible, today. But Malachi chapter number 4, verses 5 and 6 is a passage of scripture that references fathers. And I want to talk today about fathers and the importance of them. Malachi 4 and verse 5, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And that is the way that God ended the Old Testament. It was with a couple of verses that talked about the importance of the relationship between children and their fathers and fathers and their children. And as God was referencing there the fact that before the coming of the day of the Lord, Elijah would show up, we understand from the New Testament that that was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And what we learn about John the Baptist and his ministry as he prepared the way for the Lord was he had this task of turning the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. And he did that because God was upset with the earth, apparently from what we can read there, that he was willing to smite the earth with a curse because the relationship between fathers and their children was not what it ought to be. And I would imagine that that didn't just mean that there were one or two here or there, but that as a general rule, the normal for that day and age was that fathers and children did not get along and there was a brokenness in that relationship. And God was upset about that. We think about our society today, and I read a statistic the other day that said that 40% of children in America today are born out of wedlock, 40%, which tells us that in that situation, that means that those 40% are growing up more than likely in a home where they're either with mom or perhaps even just with dad, but they're not with both. And I would say that that number is probably even higher when you consider the fact that many that are born into a home with a mom and a dad, the marriages break up after time and they are left to usually be raised by mom. And I want you to understand, if that's the situation you're in, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I can tell you this about my own situation. I grew up in a broken home. It doesn't mean that it's your fault. It doesn't mean that you're a second-class citizen. What it does mean is that's not the way God intended it to be. That means that somewhere along the line, something broke down and it didn't end up the way God wanted it to be. And if you're in a situation where maybe you grew up in a home with mom and dad, but maybe you're in a situation where your marriage didn't work or whatever the case may be, and maybe you're even raising a child by yourself, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to make you feel bad either, but I do need to, as a minister of the Word of God, lift up God's standard for the home. And I want you to understand this morning that God's standard for the home, what God desires, and frankly, let me put it this way, what works is a father and a mother in the home. That's God's plan. And yes, it is okay, by the way, to say amen. Because I do realize that our society today, it doesn't like that idea, but that is God's plan. I want you to understand that two moms doesn't work. That's nothing wrong with women, by the way. I'm glad they're around. I happen to be married to one. I liked them so much. But two men doesn't work either.
and two that can't figure out what they are doesn't work. God's plan and design has always been a father and a mother in a home loving one another and loving their children. That's God's standard and that's God's plan. And I'm not angry at anybody unless they would go against God and say that God's way isn't the best way. Then I'm angry at them. But I'm not angry at anyone for just being born into a situation that's different or whatever the case may be. I recognize we live in a sinful world. But this morning, I want to present to you God's standard, which is, again, a father and a mother in a home. Specifically, I want to present to you the standard of the fact that the father in a home is very important. The title of the message this morning is, What's the Big Deal About Fathers? What's the big deal? Why is it so important? And friends, I want to present to you, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a sociologist, or whatever other ologist you can think of, but I do know enough about, number one, God's word, but also just watching life to say that there is no one any more important than dad in the home and in the life of a young person. I know that may seem a little foreign, and you might say, well, what about mom? I'll say this, mom is equally as important, but she's not more important than dad in the home. There's no one more important than dad in the home. What's the big deal about fathers? Let's pray, and then I want to give you five areas that, as I meditate on this, the Lord gave to me that from God's word that fathers are important. Dear Lord, I thank you that you are our father. Dear Lord, I thank you that you care enough about us that you call yourself and you literally are our heavenly father. Now, Lord, I pray that you would have your hand upon this message. I also want you to bless it, Lord, but I don't just want you to bless it. I want you to use it. Lord, I want you to use this message for your honor and glory. And I pray for the men that are here that, Lord, you would use this to encourage them to remember that they have a very big role to play in the lives of their children, whether young or old children, whether in the home or grown and out of the home. That, Lord, the role of their father is extremely important. Lord, I pray that you would do that, but I pray that you would also remind these men and me as well, Lord, that our job is to work in spiritual matters, not just physical matters. That we're to be leaders in spiritual things. Lord, that we're going to give an account to you someday. Help us to remember that. Lord, I think of the ladies that are here and the young men and the young women that are not yet parents, but also, Lord, the ladies that are moms. And I pray that you would use this message to remind all of them and all of us to encourage dads, to not belittle them, to not make fun of them, to not pretend as if they're not as important as mom, but to remember that they are essential to the upbringing of every child. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help in this message. I pray that above all things, you would be magnified and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. What's the big deal about fathers? Why is it so important that dad be in the home? First of all, I would have you turn to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. And in Proverbs 1, the Bible tells us there, or I should say it this way, it gives us a glimpse into what a father's job is, part of it, okay? And in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 8, we learn, by the way, the book of Proverbs, the majority of it was written by Solomon. And this section specifically was, and he's writing, referencing basically what he learned from his parents. Some of it would be from his dad, some from his mom. But here's what he says in verse number 8, and he's kind of quoting his father, and he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Here we have a dad talking to his son, and he references the fact that the son is to hear the instruction of his father. And I want to just say this morning as I begin the message, what's the big deal about fathers? First of all, they are important because it is their job to give instruction. It is their job to give instruction. Listen, dads, I want you to understand, your children need to hear. By the way, both male and female children need to hear from you how life works, what they're supposed to do. What about in this situation? And dad, you need to always be thinking of that. And I want to encourage you that your job is essential. Please don't fall prey to this world's thinking, which is that, you know, mom is essential and mom raises the kids. Dad just goes out, leaves the caves, kills something and drags it back and then sits on the chair and watches television. That's the world's idea. It's not God's. That it's not mom's job to raise the children. It's mom and dad together. And dad's job is to instruct, to look at life and always be thinking, what is it that my children are about to face? What is it that they're going through? What is it that they will go through? Or what is it that they might go through? And give them instructions on how to deal with life. That could be in physical things. Listen, let me encourage you, dads, teach your children how to change a tire on a car. Teach your young ladies how to do that in case they're ever in a situation, because the Lord knows that men won't stop these days to help them. And if a man does stop, he might be a predator. So you teach them. Teach them how to do those simple things that you think of, well, that's my job. Instruct them on how to do that. Instruct your young men how to be young men. Certainly physical things, do that, and that's a wise thing to do. But let me encourage you also, instruct them in spiritual things. Look at their life and teach them what's coming up in their life and how they can handle that. Teach them how to read the Bible, what to look for, how to walk with God. Let me encourage you to teach them and instruct them in emotional things, how to handle emotions. Emotions are a normal part of life. And you know what? Even strong emotions that we look at and we say, boy, I don't really, it's kind of embarrassing that I even feel that way. Listen, those are normal in life. We're all emotional creatures, some more than others, I recognize. But you know what, dad, it's your job to teach them how to deal with emotions. What do I do with that feeling? You know, it's normal, by the way, for young people to feel attracted to members of the opposite sex. In their teenage years, that's a normal thing. But it's also a time when they really need to understand that's not the important part of life right now. I just need to finish high school. Amen? Amen. That's right. Exactly. And I need to focus on, if they're a young man, especially, you know, having some kind of a career so I can support a family before I start thinking about that. But you know what, dad? How about rather than just ignoring those feelings, how about you teach them, what do you do with those feelings? What do you do when you feel attracted to somebody of the opposite sex? How do you handle that? Dad, your job is to instruct. Don't negate what God gave you to do. You have an important role in instruction, and we could go on and on and on with what to do, but your job is to instruct. What's the big deal? Dad is there for instruction. And I would put it to you this way. Yes, mom instructs as well, but it's not the same. There's something about a dad's instruction. And let me even say this before we move on to the next point. Not just for the young men. Dads, don't leave the girls for mom to raise. That's your job too. Instruct your young ladies. In fact, dad, I would put it to you this way. There is nobody, including mom, more important in your girl's life than you. You have more influence even than mom. That little girl is going to look to you for a lot of life. And you have an opportunity to mold her and make her, and by the way, to teach her even what to look for in a mate, and she'll base a lot of what she looks for in a mate on your relationship with her. Your job is to instruct. Not just the young men, but also the young ladies that God has placed under your care. It is your job. It's a big deal, dad, that you instruct. And I don't say all that, by the way, to discourage you or to beat on you. I say it this way. You're important. Set other things aside. and get involved in your children's lives, especially if they're young. But if they're already somewhat grown, maybe they're teenagers, maybe they're young adults, maybe you need to might even go to them and just say, listen, I know I didn't do all that I should have done when you were younger, but I want to begin. And if you'll help me, if you'll be patient with me, I want to help you with life. And humbly go to them and seek that ability to instruct and get involved. And mom, never put dad down. Never put his instruction down. Let me encourage you, listen to him. Let dad lead so that he can be the instructor in the home. All right? So what's the big deal about dads? They're important for instruction. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 12. Here's another area where dads are important. Hebrews chapter number 12. Look at verse 4. What's the big deal about dads? Well, they're important for instruction. And in Hebrews 12, verse number 4, we see another area where dads are important. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 4. The writer of Hebrews here says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Notice this, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. In other words, you're illegitimate children. Verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which, notice this, which corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. God is speaking to us through the writer of Hebrews here about the fact that he chastens, or we might put it this way, disciplines his children. And he uses an illustration of a father, and God is our heavenly Father. If we belong to him, if we've been born again, he will discipline us. That means sometimes there's some pain involved if we're not doing right. But he uses the illustration of a father, and he assumes that everyone understands it is the father's job to discipline, to chasten. And I want to submit to you this morning that dads are important because nobody can discipline like dad disciplines. And dad, that's your job to discipline. Let me put it to you this way. It's not mom's job to discipline the little ones. Now, mom sometimes has to step in, do something, especially when dad's not around. But the primary disciplinarian in the home is supposed to be dad. That's the way God designed it. And if mom is the principal disciplinarian in your home, then you've got it backwards. Now, dad, I realize that may be difficult. I realize that may be hard, but I want to encourage you, you're not fulfilling your role if mom is the disciplinarian. God didn't design moms for that. God designed moms for hugs and kisses, for rubbing backs and having soft and gentle hands and being gracious and kind and probably even a little bit too nice sometimes. That's the way God designed moms. And that's normal and right. There's just something that only dad can do. Now, I grew up in a home where my mom, as a little girl, grew up on a dairy farm, and even until she was almost 40, she was a dairy farmer. And a lot of those years, they milked cows by hand, which meant that my mom had hands stronger than most of you men. And I am not teasing on that, by the way, either. She had strong hands. Plus, she was part Irish, part German, short and stocky, and she could take most of us down. But, you know, even though my mom could spank hard, and believe me, she did. But, you know, there was nothing like dad. And I don't mean that just because dad could hit harder. Spankings aren't designed to be, you know, who can lay the hardest blow on the backside of a child. If that's your idea, then please let me encourage you to speak to me because I want to help you. That's not what discipline is designed to be. It's not just beat them until they're blue. No. That's wrong. But there's something about the firmness that a dad can have, a stern look along with the pain that is applied to the backside with an appropriate, you know, instrument, etc. All of that, there's something about that that only dad can give. There is an authority in that child's life that only dad has. Mom won't have it. A teacher won't have it. The pastor won't have it. A youth minister won't have it. Only dad has that authority. And that authority comes from God himself. Dad is important for correction. And I would encourage you dads, again, if you need help, I can point you to some books on how to properly raise children, how to discipline them properly. And again, I've given the illustrations before of my dad, who by the time he got to me, I was the ninth. He was good at it by then. And he gave me some good spankings. But here's the thing, honestly, and I say this from an honest heart, I love my dad very, very much. I'm thankful for him. He and I have a great relationship. And I want you to understand that part of the reason that we do is, as he disciplined me in such a way that when we got done, he and I were tight. When we got done with the discipline, it was not I was angry at him, he was angry at me. No, by the time I left his room, we were buddies that were inseparable. And he, by the way, spanked me. But he did it right. And it caused me to understand, here's what it did for me, dads. Here's what it honestly did. It helped me to understand that when I do wrong against the God of heaven, who is my heavenly Father, and he disciplines me, and he does, that the goal of the end of it is not that I would be castigated for my wrongdoing, but rather that God would draw me to himself and that he and I would be tight again. That's the goal of discipline. And only a dad can do that. Moms just don't have the same ability. Moms, that's not to put you down. That's to say, encourage your husband. Don't nag him, but encourage him. And when he disciplines, don't discourage that. Encourage it. Dads are important for correction. They're important for instruction. Turn to Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. Dads, I hope this is an encouragement to you this morning, that you are essential in the life, in the lives of your children. The boys, yes, but also the girls. Matthew chapter number 1. You are needed. You are essential. They will not be all that they could be if you are not involved and living the God-fearing life that you should be living. Matthew chapter number 1, I want you to look with me. Let's see here. Verse number 18, Matthew chapter number 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. In other words, because they had not been together, yet she's pregnant, he assumed she had been unfaithful. And the law was that she should be stoned. He didn't want to stone her. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now look with me, if you would, at verse 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, by the way, look down at chapter number 2 and verse number, let's see here. We want to look at verse number 12. Speaking of the wise men who came to worship Jesus, being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now look at verse 13 of Matthew 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. We don't have time to look at all the passages of Scripture, but I would encourage you to read on from there later. You know what you'll find? Joseph obeyed. He took his wife and the child that belonged to her, not his physical child, but he was kind of like a stepfather or a foster father. And in obedience to the angel's direction, took them into Egypt. They stayed there until the death of Herod. Then the angel gave them word, it's time to go back. The angel spoke to Joseph in a dream. Joseph goes back and finds a safe place, and Jesus grows up in Nazareth. All of that to say, isn't it interesting that the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph? Isn't it interesting that the angel did not speak to Mary? Now, Mary is a great woman. In fact, she's blessed more than any other woman in all of Scripture. What a great and blessed woman she is. But I want you to understand that when God wanted to give direction to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it through the man who had the authority as the earthly father of that young child named Jesus. And I want you to understand that that's an example for us that dads, you are important because you are important for guidance in that child's life. That as God wants to guide that child toward a career, as God wants to guide that child towards ministry, as God wants to guide that child, listen, towards a mate, God wants to speak through you. And it's not that in all of those situations, God will do just like this, where he gives you a dream and you make the child do this. Although when they're younger, that's certainly appropriate. By the way, it's not wrong to make children do things. It's okay to say amen there. Thank you. I appreciate that. Not wrong to make children do things. We make them do things all the time. So when they're young and all of that, make them do right. Give them that guidance. As they get to be older, the art is, and only God can give you the art, that you begin to let go a little bit of forcing them to do things. And from then on, you're kind of just steering them and nudging them and saying, hey, this way. And no, go that way. And hey, watch out. There's danger over there. Turn this way. And after a while, especially when they get married, you're to let go and, all right, God, they're yours now. But listen, Dad, you're important because God will guide them through you. God will guide them through you. That means that God wants to use you in that child's life to, when they're young, to even speak to them about, you know, let's just use the names Johnny or Susie. All right, Johnny, you know what I notice about you, son, is that you have this gifting in your life. You ever think about the fact that God might want to use you in this area of ministry? Or Susie, I've noticed that this is a talent that you have, or you like to do this. You know, perhaps God wants you to have this as your life's work. And son, let's pray about that. Let's pray about God showing you what you ought to do and where you ought to go. You see, dad's job is to give guidance. God will speak when a child is young, when a child is in the home. God's going to speak to dad about where he's leading that child. And I realize maybe not in every little thing. I'm not trying to make dad into a pope, but I am trying to say the Bible example is when he needed to get Jesus into Egypt, he didn't speak to Jesus about it. He didn't speak to Mary about it. He spoke to Joseph. And he said, Joseph, you take him. And dad, God wants to do that same thing with you. Don't be negligent. Don't sit back and say, well, I just let my kids, you know, kind of do their own thing. That's fine. Then listen, then you're negligent. Then someday you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for the fact that you didn't fulfill your task. Be a leader and guide them. God wants to use you. You're important in their life. Let me give you a fourth reason that you are important. And that is Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6. By the way, while you're turning there, let me just give a personal illustration in regard to guidance. With my earthly father, my dad always had he did a good job, although he wasn't perfect. He did a good job of trying to help guide me and give me an understanding that God wanted to use me. And I appreciated that. Some of that was just dad being dad, and you know how dads can sometimes see their children in a better light than is reality. And some of that was probably that way. My mom was definitely that way, but my dad to some extent too. But one thing about my dad is this: when I was 19, 20 years old, praying about what the Lord wanted me to do once I graduated college, thinking missions, thinking pastorate, all those different things, I can remember my dad saying to me, "Mike, you do whatever the Lord leads you to do. You're an adult now. But I want you to know that I see the pastoral gifting in your life. I don't see the missionary gifting in your life. Now, you go where the Lord leads you, but that's what I see." And I respect my dad, and I said, "Thanks, Dad, I really appreciate that, but I feel like the Lord wants me to go towards missions." And you know the story. This church has been involved in my ministry. And so we went into missionary work, and was in missionary work for 7 years. And you know what I found out, at least during that time, and I don't know what God has for the future. Maybe someday he'll take us back into missions. But you know what I saw at that time? I saw, you know what? My gifting is pastoral. That even as I was on the mission field, the ministry that I would have there was more pastoral than missions. It was just obvious there, and those words of my dad kept ringing in my head again. You see, God was speaking to my dad and showing him things because he was able to step back as my dad and see things from an angle I couldn't see. And he gave me some advice there. Didn't force it on me. I was an adult. Didn't ram it down my throat. Didn't chew me out if I didn't follow his advice. But he gave it to me and he left it there. And God used that to then, when the door opened up for this pastorate, you know the story. It was as if the Lord was saying, "Now this is what I want you to do. Do it." That's a good example of guidance. And I want to encourage you dads that only a dad can do that. It's important. So Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 4, look at the word of God there. It says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Dads are important because only they can bring up children in God's way completely. I want you to understand, again, moms have a part in this as well. I'm not trying to belittle them, but the word of God specifically says to fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Rather than that, what we're to do is to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, as a dad, I have the responsibility to bring my children up. Again, does mom do that as well? Yes, but it's primarily dad's responsibility to bring them up. And I have to be careful because as a dad, one of the things that can happen is I can provoke my children to wrath. I can be so hard on them and expect so much of them that in turn they rebel against me and they become angry with my high expectations. Rather than doing that, what I'm to do is I'm to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, I am to bring them up in God's way, the way God deals with me. There's two words in that passage of scripture I want to share with you. The first one is nurture. Bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. Now think about this. If I were to ask you, which parent, dad or mom, has the job of nurturing? Most all of us instantly would say mom. But God's word says dad. Isn't that interesting? I'm not saying moms don't nurture. My mom sure did. But I'm saying it's primarily dad's job. And here's what nurturing means. It means promoting growth. Nurturing means promoting education. Nurturing means promoting instruction. It's dad's job. Dad, you're important because it is your job to bring them up in the nurture of the Lord, as in to nurture their growth towards God. How would God, if God were their earthly father, how would he promote growth in their life? How would he promote education? How would he promote instruction? What areas would God want them to grow in? Dad, that's your job to fulfill that. Because you are, by the way, the picture of God in the home. And your children are going to have an idea of who God is based on who you are. It's funny how that works, but psychologically, that's what we do. So bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. And then the second word there is admonition. And admonition means gentle reproof, counseling against a fault, instruction in duties, caution, and direction. So when you're nurturing your children, admonish them. Give them a gentle reproof. Let them know, hey, you did this wrong. Don't do that again. Here's the area where you need to correct that. Here's where you need to go. And do so in the ways that God would want you to. And dads, only you can do that. It is a big deal that you're in the home because you are to bring your children up in God's way. Let me give you one more area where you're important. And that is from Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Turn there with me if you would. So we've seen, dads, that you are important for instruction. You are important for correction. You are important for guidance. You are important for bringing children up in God's way. And now Proverbs 17, let me give you one more. You are important in your child's life because of verse number 6. Proverbs 17 and verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. Notice this, and the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. Dads, you are important. Because I don't understand all of this, but deep down in the heart of every child, there is a desire to glorify their dad. There is a need, there's a hole there in the life of every child that wants their dad to be up here. Now, the beautiful thing about it is, children don't see things the way you and I see them. You see your faults, I see your faults. You see my faults. My children don't see my faults. Not the same way. They have this desire for their dad to be up here, and it's natural for them to glorify their father. And when they can't do that, when dad's not involved, when dad's absent, or maybe he's distant from them or whatever, there's a hole there. Dad, you're important because God made them in such a way that they want you to be up here in their life. Let me give you a personal example that I just laughed at the other day. This was funny. My little girls had never seen the movie Old Yeller. How many of you ever seen the movie Old Yeller? First time I ever saw it, I cried. I was 12 years old. My 12th birthday party, we watched it, and I cried. Aw. It's a good movie. Any movie with a dog is a great movie. Almost. But I thought, you know what? I've been busy a lot lately, haven't been able to spend time with my little girls, Julianne and Rachel, lately. So when I got home that one evening, I said, girls, I want to show you a movie that I really enjoy, and we watched Old Yeller. Now, in the beginning of Old Yeller, if you remember it, Fess Parker is the dad. How many of you know who Fess Parker is? You know the guy I'm talking about. All right. A few of the advanced crowd. Not so much the younger crowd. But in that movie, Fess Parker has a great mustache. I mean, it's beautiful. And Fess Parker rode up to the house on a horse in his, Western getup, all right? In his Western gear. And I said to my girls, now there's a dad. Every kid wishes their dad was just like that guy right there, Fess Parker. And Julianne looked at me and she said, no, Dad, I want my dad to be just like you. That's what I said. And I said, here, how much ice cream do you want? But you know what's funny about that is every kid is that way toward their dad by nature. Unless we mess it up, unless we, are distant or we provoke them to wrath, that's not, I know me. I know what a mess up as a dad I am. I know my failures. Not only do I not look as good as Fess Parker, I don't act as good as he did in the movie. But you know what? The desire of her heart is just naturally to put me up here. And it fulfills a psychological need, a spiritual need in her life when dad can be there. There's that need in her life. And friends, I'm an adult. Those of you who are around all the time, you hear me talk about my dad. You know my dad is probably in the next few weeks probably going to go home to be with the Lord. And as a 43-year-old man, I still have that desire. And in my mind, Dad is up here. There's something that God placed in us. Dads, you're important. And I want to encourage you with that. You don't have to be perfect, because none of us are. But you do have to pray. You have to be spiritual. And you have to love those kids. And if you'll do that, and listen, the biggest thing you can do is be humble and cry out to God with all your heart. Dear God, help me. Dear God, I know this is a big responsibility. Dear God, I know I'm not up to the task, but dear God, if you'll help me, if you'll use me, I know you put me in this child's life for a reason. God, if you'll help me, I'll do what I can to help that child grow up to serve you and love you. And friends, if you'll do that humbly, God will help you. And God wants to use you. You are needed. You're a big deal. I don't care what society says. Society is wrong. And by the way, the proof of that is just look around. Our society is a mess. Let's take one example. Forgive me this a little bit, but let's just look at black culture. And I know for a white guy to stand behind a pulpit and talk about black culture is taboo, but I don't care. Let's talk about black culture. You know that back in the early part of the 20th century, black families, percentage-wise, were more intact than white families. The average black family, and it wasn't even close, had a mom and a dad in the home that were raising those kids. And think about what black culture was like in those days. Now, were things rough for them? Yes. Did people mistreat them? Yes. Was there quite a bit of racism? Absolutely. I realize that. But I'm trying to say the culture and all that was going on, what was it like? Now, what are the statistics today? I forget, but the number of black children that grow up with a mom and a dad in a home is much, much lower than it was. What's happened to the young people that are growing up like that? Has it been good for them? Ask them. And that's just one little area. Doesn't matter the color of the skin. What matters is God's design. You know what God's design is? Mom and a dad in a home. Doesn't matter the color of the skin. We're all the same. We need mom and dad in home. So dads, you're important. And I want to encourage you with that. Let's pray and we'll have a time of invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be a dad. Thank you for the opportunity to be involved in the lives of young people. Now, Lord, I just pray, I ask that you would help us as dads to give our all to our children, not so that they can be all that we want them to be, but so that they can be all that you want them to be. Now, Lord, I pray that you would work now in this invitation. If there's a dad that's discouraged today, would you encourage their hearts? There's a dad that feels like a failure. Would you give hope and strength for the future? Lord, if there is a young man that's wondering about whether or not he has what it takes to someday marry and be a dad and be all that he should be, Lord, would you grant encouragement that you are able to undertake for him and his weaknesses? Lord, I pray that you would bless and help in our men this morning. And I lay this church and these men at your feet, and I ask you to do a great work that I cannot do. I thank you that you will, in Jesus' name. Amen.